Good morning. Today is Tuesday, October the 4th. Joining us this morning, noted CPA Bill McCauley.
Hi, Brian.
Hey, dude.
How are you?
I'm okay. How about you?
I'm doing good. Other than the fact that I went down to the 49ers game and watched the Cowboys beat them.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Yeah, you should have made a left turn and headed out to Baltimore.
Apparently.
Anyway. Oh, boy. Our quote this morning comes from Antonio Porsche. No, not spelled like the car. Sorry. Huh. I know, two steps down now. I've come one step away from everything, and I'm here to stay far from everything, just one step away.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah, I think that's
deep
called
thoughts.
Don't Get Too Close. Yeah, was it that Saturday Night Live?
Yeah.
Deep Thoughts? Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, well, you know what? If we ever relax, all we have to do is pay attention to the national news media, and they provide us topics.
Well, there you go.
Yes, the Trump tax returns. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like by the way, we haven't been involved in any of the preparation of those tax returns.
That's why I figured you were just, a healthy third-party distance
just
here.
Just to offer, in case anybody was wondering.
Yeah, I'm not sure that the computers would be able to carry as many zeros in some of those areas.
Well, it's funny when you talk to people and, anyway, Donald Trump certainly is a lightning rod. And so,
he is. But it's intriguing for me to hear how things are now being played. Of course, they're being spun in the blender of politics. But how ignorant most folks are of tax returns, of taxes, of tax indebtedness, of all these things that others may or may not have to deal with. And I think that I'd like to ask you, for folks who earn, let's say, over $150,000, just kind of as a benchmark, or $200,000, I mean, it doesn't matter, because there's a whole lot more zeros with the guys I'm thinking of.
Mm-hmm.
How different is their approach to tax returns and tax indebtedness and what they do through the year than those of us who are south of that demarcation line that are just kind of doing what we do, like they do what they do, but they just do it so much better?
Well, keep in mind that people who have, the more diverse your investments are, people who, for most of us, we're people of modest means or whatever, our investments are what they are. We can see them, we can touch them, we can put a finger on them. We understand what's going on. Maybe we own a rental, but we know what, we collect the rents and we pay the insurance and we pay the property
taxes.
We're
blowing the gutters out.
Yeah.
Yeah, all this stuff.
And we're real hands-on. So it's all real, we're highly connected to the things that tend to show up in our tax returns. As you get further away, as your investments become more diverse, and as they become, in many cases, more complicated, just because of the nature, and sometimes, maybe overly complicated, you're adding complexity into the tax return. And the thing about, tax returns is there's a lot of moving parts in a tax return, and the more you have, the more sensitive those parts can be to a change in one area versus another.
It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:23. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with CPA Bill McCauley. So, Bill, we were talking before the break about the differences, demarcation, stratification, whatever we want to use, from regular guy to the big boys.
Yeah, and I didn't really answer your specific question with regard
to... But you filled the time up quite nicely, so that's okay.
Well, yeah, I have a good grasp
of that. So you got some more opportunity here to fill, so...
I am really good at making a short story long.
There you go, man. It's yours.
So, yeah, I mean, I think that this... There is a line out there where people, as I say, I think where there's less connection with the underlying investments and activities, and there's more intermediary parties involved in the conduct of the businesses and the record keeping and the tax reporting and everything else that goes on. And as you become more and more diverse, it gets increasingly more complicated, and
exponentially?
I don't know that I was tempted to say that, and I don't think that's really accurate. I think that'd be overstating the case, but it does get more complicated.
Because you certainly got a lot more feeders coming in.
You absolutely do, and understanding how, you know, this little item is going to affect that item, or, you know, this item over here is going to affect that item. You need to, you know, there's some rules there, but I wouldn't say it's an exponential level of complication, but, you know, maybe geometric. And so, you know, you're seeing, you know, an acceleration of activity and again, you know, it can be, each activity can have a lot that feeds into a tax return depending on how the investment or the activity is structured from a tax standpoint. In other words, if it's a partnership, you may get a bunch of different inputs that arise from that particular item that flow into a tax return. Whereas, conversely, if you own a stock, you may have dividends, and you may be accounting for dividends, which is a simpler thing to account for than the pass-throughs from an investment partnership.
Do most of the larger income folks, is it business ownership that puts the numbers out there, or is it just personal compensation as an employee of a large corporation? Because I think business probably adds a whole nother cadre of complication, of documentation that, it makes it different.
Yeah, a lot of, you know, it depends, is and I hate to give that answer, and I feel like I do that a lot, but it does indeed depend. It depends on how the business is structured and how the income. As an example, if I have an investment and my investment is a corporation, then probably if it's a traditional corporation, I'm going to get from that corporation W-2 income for my wages. I could get some other forms of compensation there. There may be some elements for personal use of a vehicle or other wrinkles that may be coming through that. But in general, most of that just ends up affecting my W-2 compensation. And I think, you know, I mean, most of us probably understand, you know, we get a W-2, it's got a bunch of boxes checked, you know, and most tax preparers are pretty comfortable dealing with all those issues that are attenuant to dealing with that problem. Some of them have more, there are, you know, I mean, you could end up with a lot of boxes checked depending on, you know, what kind of participations you have.
Well, and lots of layering underneath those boxes too.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, so on one hand, you could have a very large business, but really be electing to take your, you know, all of what comes out of that business because of the structure of the business as W-2 compensation. You can have a relatively simple individual income tax return. That's probably not typical with people who, you know, as their income grows, what they tend to do is, even if they keep that primary income driver business as a traditional corporation, a C corporation is what we refer to them as, they begin to take money that they pull out of the business and put them into other investments. And those other investments, real estate investments or other things that they may be putting money into, those all have potentially different tax implications on the individual's income tax return. So it just depends on structures. Now, if you're Donald Trump, and I don't really know anything about, I mean, I don't think any of us know that much about his taxes. Somebody out there, some people do, but nobody
somebody did.
Nobody who's talking publicly, you know,
right,
who can say, I really know. You know, he may have a slew of investments in limited liability companies, partnerships and other things, and all that is, you know, ends up bringing a lot of complexity to returns.
Do most folks at that level have individual tax returns interwoven with businesses, or are they separate from the businesses, and the businesses have their own issues, and maybe he's a title on the business rather than the way that most of the small business operators are?
Both. Some of the investments are going to be, you know, some are going to be one way, some are going to be the other. You're going to see somebody like that's probably going to have investments that he's going to own. It's a traditional corporation. Maybe he doesn't even provide services to that corporation. It's the only thing he gets out of his dividends. But he may still own 75%, 100% of that business. And it may be organized as a corporation. Another one may be organized as a limited liability company or a partnership or some other form of entity that causes some additional reporting from that entity's standpoint. In general, if you have an entity, it's going to have some form of tax reporting on its own, but it may be, again, funneling income to the individual income tax return, depending on facts and circumstances. I will tell you, don't do a lot of those Donald Trump returns.
It's 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with CPA Bill McCauley. Talk Shop presented by REDEC and by CDH Painting. Bill, as we look at different types of tax returns, and I realize that most Americans are, you know, we're ignorant. You know, if we had a 1040 EZ, that's probably what we would opt for. Okay.
Who wouldn't?
Yeah, you know, and then you got the 1040, and if you got to, you know, have a house, pretty much. And then you got all the others, you know, if you get a little bit more complicated. Mm-hmm. So I would suspect that our background of other people's financial return obligations is limited at best.
Certainly.
So what is the distinction between a private party and a business tax return? What are in common? What are different as we keep hearing these tax returns or information containing there being thrown around at the national level? We really don't know what's going on. It's kind of like us going to a bullfight. We know everybody's excited, but we're really not sure what's going on. But we know somebody's going to die.
Yeah, just stay away from the thing with the horns.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. And too many of the liquid refreshments also.
I have a family member who has a funny bullfight story, but that's a whole nother thing.
Why does that not come as a surprise?
It's not my bullfight story. I've never been, but
okay.
Okay. I have a family member.
So what is the... What are the similarities? What are the distinctions between a business tax return and an individual tax return?
Well, that is a really good question. I'm not trying to pander, but it is a good question because I think there is some confusion about it. Most entities have an obligation to file a tax return. Some entities are tax paying entities, and some entities aren't. Some entities may be a tax paying entity, and they may not. So there's
Who doesn't pay taxes?
Well, I mean, first of all, the obvious answer to that is a not-for-profit organization. They generally don't pay taxes unless they have unrelated business taxable income or some other excise tax that may be imposed on them due to behavior or the nature of the investments. So generally a not-for-profit, you know, the traditional not-for-profit organization, the blood bank, doesn't pay income taxes, but they could. be subject to
if they rented out a building,
an excise tax, or the, you know, for a medical device purchase, or things like, or they could be if they were doing something that would be competitive with regular business, and they could have some unrelated business taxable income. So that's the easy one. Another one that doesn't pay any taxes is are partnerships. Partnerships are purely pass-through entities. So a partnership, if you and I, if Bill and Brian form the B&B partnership and we decide that we're going to...
And no, those are not Bill and Brian, those green little houses that drive around. Those are not tiny houses.
No,
those are not houses that we belong to.
You want to talk about productivity?
Anyway. We missed that boat a long time ago that could have been profitable,
So, P&M.
Okay, much easier to conceive here. Okay.
So we have our, and let's say you and I decide we're going to go out and buy a building together, and we're going to do it in a partnership. And so you and I form a partnership, and we put in some money. Let's say we put in an equal amount. And we go out and buy a building, we collect rents, we pay the expenses, and we accumulate cash, pay down the debt on the building, and then periodically we distribute a few bucks to ourselves because we're making money on it, right? So if we're 50% partners, that partnership's probably not going to pay any income tax. What's going to happen is the activity, the net income from that activity is going to get passed out to you and I, and we're going to pick it up on our personal income tax returns. That been said, the partnership is filing a tax return. It's just not paying tax because the tax is going to be paid by another.
Same as a nonprofit, still filing a tax return, correct. But not.
But there's no. Yeah, okay. In this case, the difference between the nonprofit and the partnership is you, Papstein and McCauley, are each going to pay tax on our share of the income from that activity. So, you know, generally you like to see a little cash flow come out because there's going to be some tax that gets paid. You know, based on the income from that activity. So if you use all the cash to pay down the debt, you're going to have to come up with cash from somewhere else to pay the taxes if you don't retain some cash in the partnership for that purpose to be able to distribute. So that's a pretty straightforward one, and there's a prime example of an organization that would typically pay no taxes. It would be a partnership. Then I'll give you an example of an organization that pays taxes. That's a corporation. So we have a traditional, what we call C corporation, and they're out. And let's say this business is out, and they distribute widgets. So they're a widget distributor. They buy widgets, they warehouse the widgets. Period. They got delivery people. The delivery people deliver the widgets. Maybe it's wholesale delivery. Who knows? And it goes out, and they get paid for doing that, and they pay their people, and they got accounting staff, and management staff, and salespeople, and they got warehouse people. All those costs, so they've got the income from the sale of the widget, then they got all these costs that line up against against selling the widget, and then when you get to the end, hopefully there's a number where your revenue exceeds those costs, and that's profit. And that corporation, traditional C corporation, would pay tax on the profit for that entity. So it's a tax-paying entity. Now you're saying, how does an owner get money out of that? Wages, W-2, or dividends. Or maybe the owner rents a building they need because the owner owns it outside and it gets rented in. There are other ways, you know, that there could be cash flow associated with that. But that corporation pays tax on its revenue. Then we have the hybrids. The first hybrid we can throw out is what we call an S-corporation. An S-corporation organized as a corporation, but makes an election to be taxed under subchapter S of the Internal Revenue Code. And an S-corporation thereby pays very little for federal purposes. Generally, no tax is paid by an S-corporation. There are some exceptions, but there are generally no tax paid by an S-corporation. And in California, there's a 1.5% tax on net income. Because California is different, and most states don't tax S-corp earnings, but California does. And so now you've got the hybrid. You've got one, you know, we got a C-corporation, a traditional corporation. It pays its tax. An S-corporation, no, it's like a partnership. The owners get passed through whatever the profit is, and they pick that up in their individual income tax returns.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42. Boy, it's really... hopefully dawning on folks that we can't do a 20-second soundbite on tax returns. and say he or they or she blank. Yeah. We'll continue with our blank when we come back.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:48. Final couple minutes this morning with Bill McCauley. Bill, so with the discussions of that have been kicked around that Donald Trump hasn't paid income taxes since, and that there was a tax credit, I guess, was a credit of almost $1 billion that everything's been kind of measured against. What is that whole thing?
Well, there's a lot of dust in the air on this one. You know, I don't think we're getting a lot of clarity. I don't think we're getting necessarily a lot of clarity from the Trump campaign about it and Donald Trump. I don't think we're getting a lot of particularly good analysis of it. And maybe that's because it was dusty from what the Trumps were, you know, the Trump side of it is. I don't know, but it's hard to know what really is going on unless you are could be a party to his situation. I mean, it may be that it's entirely possible he doesn't pay taxes. He's got enough losses from some of the and keep in mind, you can have a bunch of losses in real estate while you're kind of making money because you're taking depreciation deductions and other, you know, so I mean, you can be adding value to your portfolio while you're losing money for tax purposes. Conversely, I'm not saying generally losing money is a great thing,
but it's a possibility.
That's a possibility, and so you're using those dollars and you're depreciating the properties, and you know, maybe you're using composite depreciation, so you're going in and breaking down the parts of each building, and you know, we take these pieces.
Oh, really? You did that that granular mm-hmm. level then?
Sure, and I think they probably do. You know, we don't see a lot of it here, but there is some composite depreciation that's done here. But for the most part, not a lot.
Well, you know, I don't think he's a dummy so around money. So whatever it is, it'll be interesting to see how this thing just kind of all clarifies in the next little bit, or if it does at all. You know, they may move on to the next topic, so who knows. Well, thanks for trying to clarify us a little bit.
Well, you're very, very welcome.
Or is that the dust bowl that I see? See you tomorrow.